He's an explosive talent. And like anything, you start overusing them, they're going to get wear and tear, and all of a sudden you don't see the same explosive player. So it's us utilizing that. James is a guy that we do think can be a three-down player. It doesn't mean everything's perfect. There's some little things that he's already been working on and will continue to work on. But we're excited with where he's at, and he's still a young talent. And as we've said in here, don't think he's been overtaxed or a guy that, like, man, the tread on his tires is getting worn by any means.
Bill Sheehan, Brandon Bean, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. So, what is your guess to the question of whether this new contract for James Cook means more time on the field? Should it? Will it? I keep going back to, without ever hardly thinking about contract stuff, what the Bills have been of late as an offense has worked really well, and that includes Cook being off the field for more than half their plays. So why would they change it? They might think they need more from him at what will be his new pay rate, even though this year he went up, but his contract isn't until after. Would you expect the Bills to play him more often?
I would say no. I mean, could it go from, what was it, around 47% last year? Could it, you know, just situationally, you know, maybe they're in tighter games and he's, you know, what? To 52%, maybe 55%. Like, I don't think it's going to be significant. I just don't think they would have invested in Ty Johnson. It's modest, but still, like, if he were someone that you were thinking you weren't going to use in the same role, or maybe even a little bit more often, who knows? Then I don't think you commit to him the way they did. And I think you want to be careful to not use him. It's great that he doesn't have worn tires, to use Bean's metaphor there. Going back to college, even now into 3 years into the NFL, he's got a low amount of carries and touches for someone who plays running back. That's good. I wouldn't want to change that now that I've paid him. If anything, I want to make sure I protect that so that I can get, you know, it's a 4-year deal, really ostensibly 3 for $30. I can get 4 more seasons out of him, using him the way I'm using him, and max that out, rather than for a guy who's not a big, thick, bruising guy, more of a finesse-type runner. I think I want to keep using him the same way. I think you pay him to keep using him like you're using him. I think it would be very bad process to go, well, we paid him, so now we got to use him 69 or 70% of the time or something. Their offense worked extremely well with the guys in the roles that they had. And provided that Ray Davis still proves to be a dependable, you know, backup running back to spell Cook on, you know, just any down, not, you know, like Johnson has a very specific role. You know, Davis is more just Cook is tired, you know, or just let's get you one every fourth series. We're going to get you out there, that kind of thing. Provided you feel like you can depend on Davis to keep doing that there isn't some huge drop-off, or you're just not getting, you know, every time he's out there, you're in 2nd and 9 if you hand it to him or something, which I don't foresee. I don't think there's any reason to change Cook's usage. It's tempting. I think it's a reasonable question to ask. You know, fans have been, the whole time we've been debating whether to pay him or not, and then since they paid him, you know, there's always somebody ready to tell you what a crime against football it was that he wasn't on the field at the end of the Chiefs game. And, you know, that really tells me you're predisposed to wanting to use him more. Now they've paid him, so you're going to want to use him more. And I just would say, like, just be careful about that. What I want them to do, what I think they'll do, is what I'm suggesting. And it's one of these situations where I think it lines up. Like, what I would do and what I think they'll do, I really am confident are the same thing.
That's a theme today.
I guess so.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's how we are as people, right? We sort of expect a certain thing, or you said it better than I am, want a certain thing, and then something comes along that makes you think that'll be confirmed. Confirmation bias. A little bit different from what you're saying, but still. Yeah, that's also for me, you know, just what you can get into trouble. I'm not saying there has to be a massive change, but just a minor one. You can get into trouble trying to build your thing, your machine, based on those kind of incentives. We have to play this guy. We drafted him in the first round. Now we're paying him $8 million a year versus two, whatever those things can be. And I think optimally your team does not care about that. But in real life, yeah, maybe you do.
I mean, I have no argument for anyone who wants to call us and tell us he's their best running back and maybe their most proven, dependable offensive weapon outside of Allen. Yes, you're absolutely right. But to keep it, to optimize it, to make it keep working, I think, although the temptation, you know, it's pro sports, get the best guys out there. What are you doing? Like, I get that. I just think he's someone who's been successful being used this way, and that doesn't mean that it's proven that he can't be used more and still be effective, but I just think there's a balance there, and I think you run a risk of messing with a good thing if you do it that way. So I just would not want to. And like I said, I mean, the game situations may vary. I think you've alluded to this. You know, if they're in different kinds of games, you know, obviously if they're way ahead, then, you know, your number two running back or number three running back should probably be carrying the ball on those run out the clock type drives in the fourth quarter. But if those games are tight, then maybe his usage can tick up a bit, but I wouldn't expect it to be significant. You know, I don't think it's going to go from 47 to like 67 or something. I don't think that's in the cards. I don't think it would be smart. And I happen to think that the Bills are smart. Like, I don't agree with every choice they make, receiver, but I think they have their heads on straight about things like this, usage and what works and if it ain't broke and that kind of thing. And their backfield and their offense in general, really, is far from broken, but especially how they use their running backs. Johnson excelled in his role. Davis had a nice rookie season for a point of entry. And Cook scored 16 rushing touchdowns. Why do I want to risk anything by changing that? I think it's really a perfect setup.
Something has to change to them first, I would say, too. 22 running backs last year had more than 200 carries. Among them, Cook comes in last in snap share, 44.6. That 47, I hear 47, does that include the playoffs or why?
I don't know, but I've heard 44 and 47, and I don't want to be accused of slanting it by using the lower number, so I default to the higher number, but I'm not sure which one is 100%.
There might be a nuance here I'm missing, but no. According to StatHead, 44.6 was his number last year. That ranks last of 22 running backs that carried more than 200 times. He was at 207. Right above him is Bucky Irving, who went for 1,100 yards and 5.5 yards per carry for Tampa at 45%. At the top is Kyren Williams of the Rams at 81.5%. Bijan, Barkley are 2 and 3.
I wonder where those numbers, because the number I've heard on Kyren Williams when he signed his contract was 87%, and this is 81. So maybe it is playoffs.
Offensive snap percentage is what I've got. Maybe there's. I'll look to see if there's a different slant to that. Here's Sal with us. Hello, Sal. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thank you for calling us.
Good. I kind of had a twofold question for you. Number one, in the wide receiver, how many we're going to keep? You think any of those guys have special teams swag that'll get them in, that can get them above a guy they may be better than?
I think
go
ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
My other question would have been just hearing the James Cook thing. I always fear guys that after they sign that big contract. I always think in a perfect world you get 11 guys that are all in their last year of their contract, and you're going to get the best out of them.
Well, I want to give most of these guys, if not all of them, more respect than that. I think, you know, Josh Allen made a monster deal and did any one person question his motivation or incentive after doing that? I think that it is insulting to players that, like, they won't give me their best if they've been paid, you know, in advance, if you will.
Yeah. On the receiver question, as it pertains to special teams, Shavers has started being used on some punt coverage, but it's been pretty minimal. It's not like he's a heavy in the rotation there. Beyond that, it's mostly depth guys. I think the name for this now, as we get this far into camp and cut down day is now less than a week away, right? Next Tuesday is that day. I feel like Shenault is the guy for this. I think my understanding is he's been working on the coverage units. You're seeing him return kicks, of course, which he's done in college and in the NFL, and the Bills have even been giving him a spin at punt returner, which I think is notable because they had an excellent punt and kick returner in Codrington last year who really just cannot be on the field as a defender. Like, it's just not – it's not any place you want to be. And if they think Shenault can handle both return jobs – and be something on offense, which, you know, it's going to be he's a depth guy, but it's a way to make sure you get him a uniform and maybe you can use him on some different things. He's got more of a bigger body than they have outside of Coleman, really. I feel like Shenault is the guy I'd be looking toward. Like, when I'm thinking about finding a way to divest myself of Curtis Samuel, it's not to say like Shenault replaces Samuel, because I think everyone would just move up one notch. Samuel might be 4 on the depth chart, followed by Moore and then Shavers. I think those guys all would bump up one. Shenault becomes your 6th guy, but he's getting a uniform because he's a core special teams guy. I don't think they have another guy that is being utilized that's realistic to make the roster. I mean, KJ Hamler also has return ability. I don't know that he's making your team at this point. I feel like Shenault, they're giving that a look, and I think it's probably there's intent behind it.
Do you think he looks good?
I think he looks all right. I mean, I don't know. I think he looks
okay.
Fine is the best I can do.
Fine at best, I was going to say.
Yeah, I don't know. But
I'm not watching Hard Knocks, though, and you are.
I think I didn't really see him on Hard Knocks at all.
No?
Hamler's been a star on Hard Knocks.
Really?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
He had the little scooter.
I love a scooter.
He had a little scooter, like a little kid scooter, and there's a big personality there. He was featured again last night in some like team building exercise they did with a game that they had a guy come in and play with everybody, and Hamler was central in that. Anyway.
Was it interesting?
It was maybe the most interesting thing about the show. The show is, I think the show is on borrowed time. Like, I don't know what the numbers will be. I know Bills fans are loving it. I'm enjoying watching it. But it's not anything like Hard Knocks was known for being anymore. It's a team movie.
The shark has been jumped?
Yeah.
With Hard
so
Knocks?
So I don't know if viewership is still up, they'll keep making it, I think. But if the numbers take a hit, like, I would expect objective football fans, I'm not seeing any like reviews outside of Bills fans going, I love it because Deion Dawkins is driving a drift car around a parking lot and, you know, whatever. And again, I'm enjoying all that, but fans around the league watching it, looking for the stuff that Hard Knocks was known for, I would think are going, this is like a PR video. Like, what am I doing?
Have they even
here?
Had a fight?
So I just don't – I think it's on borrowed time. I don't know.
Have they even had one fight? Hard Knocks wants to be in Tennessee where the quarterback is fighting guys, or in New England where the coach is involved in scraps.
There was a scrap in the joint practice from last night.
That's right.
And I think McDermott was heard yelling for Alec Anderson to stay out of it. Like, don't get in there, Alec. Don't get in there.
Let him work it out.
Worry he's going to get in there and make it worse.
That guy has a trident.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, Shenault, I feel like Shenault, I think when camp started, I thought he was easy to even forget about that he was on the team. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know if I want to go so far as to say I'd be surprised if he doesn't make it, but it won't surprise me if he does.
See what Sal says coming up at 5. Thanks for the call, Sal. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.